Welcome back to the Daily International OU and Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Kisavo, the 15th day of the month of Elul. Wow, we are now just 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah, which we truly hope will bring with it a year filled with blessings, sweetness, and most importantly, good health. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for Sunday's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Schwartz, of the congregation Adopt Israel in Elizabeth, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Schwartz slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Parak Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Schwartz to learn more about his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Sunday's speaker, the Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Schwartz.
Thank you so much for inviting me to join with you all today. I hope everybody's doing very well. I have to tell you, today is a very, very special day in the Elizabeth calendar. Today being the Ides of Elul, and I just want you to know that on the 15th of Elul, September 18th, 2016, Nes Gadol Hayapo, there was a tremendous miracle that happened here in Elizabeth. Because on that day, after a weekend of tremendous danger in New York City, a backpack was found on the Elizabeth train station fence, in one of the trash cans, that has five explosive devices inside. And through great miracle, it was discovered by a homeless man, Lee Parker, who reported it to the police, who made sure to properly dispose of what would have been and could have been a tremendous tragedy. And so every single year on the 15th of Elul, I get very excited and I want to sing to Hashem. It reminds me of the Beis Yosef's comment that there's one section of the book of Tehillim, one section that we make sure to sing as part of our davening. Says the Beis Yosef, when we say Mizmor L'Todah, the special psalm of thanksgiving, we have a responsibility to sing it with a tune, with a niggun. Why do we attach a niggun? Why is it responsible for us to connect music to our sense of bringing this korban? Why is there a sense of excitement inside? And how do we connect it to our souls today as we too approach other sections of Psalms, other sections of Tehillim? I believe the answer is that the song brings out a certain sense of joy. We're going to read Parshat Ki Tavo tomorrow. And in the context of reading Parshat Ki Tavo, there's one word that keeps coming up again and again in the Parsha. And that word is joy, is simcha. More correctly, that word is contentment. There is a certain sense of contentment a person develops when a person discovers that he or she is involved in bringing a korban todah. Where does that sense of contentment come from? The Gemara seems to suggest, and this idea is carried out through many of our Jewish philosophers, Rav Yaakov Emden and the Maharam Sheikh, they all suggest that there is a certain sense of finding contentment when one realizes that there's something greater in his or her world, that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we bend to, that we can use to fill the uncertainties that exist within our lives. So instead of becoming shattered from moments of uncertainty, instead of experiencing post-traumatic stress, when we undergo moments of tremendous tragedy or potential tragedy, one who realizes that there's more room to bend, all of a sudden walks away with a sense of wholeness. It's as we will say in the Tehillim shortly, Gam ki eleich begeit kamabes, even when I walk in the shadow of death. Lo yirara, I have nothing to fear. Ki ata imadi, because I know that you are with me. That sense of contentment leads one to sing. That sense of contentment to realize that God fills in the missing gaps in my life. In fact, God fills in not only the missing gaps, but the gaps that have been filled in. I dedicate myself to Hashem. All of a sudden, I have a sense of purpose, and my body wants to sing. My soul wants to sing out to Hashem. And it's never good to sing alone. My late great Rebbe, Reb David Tav from Karen Biavna, used to tell us constantly, it says in the future, Tchias HaMesim and HaTorah Minayin, how do we know that there'll be a resurrection of souls? And he used to cite the Gemara in Sanhedrin that brings a proof from Az Yashir. It says in the song of Az Yashir, Az Yashir Moshe, Moshe will sing. The Gemara says, Sharlo Ne'emar, it doesn't say that he did sing. But Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael, and Rav David used to say to us that when it says Moshe and Bnei Yisrael will sing, that shows, that is a proof that there will be a Tchias HaMesim. For if a nation can sing now, if a nation can raise its voice in recognition of Hashem, then in the future, there must be a resurrection. There must be a future. There will be a world to come. Mashiach will come as well. And so we can approach periods in time where we can make it our business to sing. We sing for the overt miracles like the one that I celebrate today together with the Elizabeth Jewish community and the world Jewish community. And then we also make it our business to realize, as Rav Yaakov Emden says, each and every day life presents us with miracles. We're not alone when we walk through life. We walk together. We sing together. We experience miracles that are overt and miracles that are covert. But if we raise our voices together in song and prayer, we will make sure that we will continue to sing Ad Bias Goel until there will be a Redeemer who will come and we will be able to go ahead and ultimately sing the Shir Chadash, the new song that will be created at that moment in time, a song that will never quit and will last forevermore. I wish you all only the opportunity for Simcha, but in the interim and in the interim, let us open and raise our voices in Tefillah in prayer. And so I ask that you begin with Chapter 20, Perek Chaf. L'manatzeach Mizmor leDavid. Yancho Adonai biyom tzara, yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov. Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh umitzion yisadeka. Yizkor kol minchosecha, v'olasecha yedashne sela. Yitein lecha chilvavecha, v'chol atasecha yimalei. Niranina bishuasecha v'shem Eloheinu nidgol, yimalei Adonai kol mishalosecha. Ata yadati, ki oshia Adonai mishicho, ya'aneu mishmei kacho, v'gvuros yesha yimino. Eile v'orechev v'eile v'asusim, v'anachnu, v'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir, heima, karu'u v'nafalu, v'anachnu, kamnu v'anisodad, Adonai Hoshia, ha'melech ya'aninu, v'yom koreinu. Now we'll continue to Perek Chaf Gimel, Chapter 23. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai ro'i lo echsar, B'na'os desha yarbitzeni, almei menuchos yinahaleni. Nafshi yeshoveth, yancheni v'magli tzedek leman shemo. Gam ki eilech begei talmaves, lo irara, ki ata imadi. Shiftecha u'mishantecha, heima yinahamuni. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neged zorirai, yishanta v'ashemen roshi kosi rivaya, Ach tov v'chesed yirdifuni kol yimei chayai, v'shavti v'veis Adonai li'orech yamim. Let's continue to Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph, Chapter 121. Shir l'malos, asayinai al haharim me'ayin yavo ezri, ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim v'oretz. Al yitem lamot raglecha, al yonum shomerecha. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha Al Yagi Minecha, Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakecha, Yareach Balayla, Adonai Yishmorecha Mikol Ra, Yishmor Es Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzeisecha Uvolecha, Me'ata Yad Olam. And let's conclude our Tehillim with the Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir HaMalos, Mima Makim Kirasicha Adonai. Adonai Shemavit Koli, Tiena Aznecha Kasuvos Lekol Tachanunai. Im Avonos Tishmoryah, Adonai, Mia Amod, Ki Emecha Hasilicha, Leman Tivare. Ki Visi Adonai Kibesanashi. Vilidvaro hochalti, nafshi ladunoi, mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el adunoi, yim adunoi hachesed v'harbei imo fidus, v'hu yifdes Yisrael mikol avonosav. I ask that you join me for the mishaberach lecholim, for the prayer for the sick, and when we get to the point to add in names, I'll pause and give you a couple of seconds to add any names that you'd like to join in with us. Misha Berech Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Moshe V'Aaron David U'Shlomo, Hu Yivarech V'Yirapea Tachulim. Ba'avur שאנחנו בלי נדר ניתן לצדקה בעבורם. בזכר זה הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, להחלימם ולרפוסם, להחזיקם ולהחיותם. וישלח להם מהירה רפואה שלמה מן השמיים, לכל איבריהם ולכל גידיהם. בסוך שאר חולי ישראל רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, השתה בגלו בזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. We'll conclude with Achenu all together. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim batzora ubashuvya, talmidim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, amakom yirachem aleihem, v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha, umeafela leora, umishibud legeula, hashta bagala uvizman kariv, v'nomar amen. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of each and every one of us, of our loved ones, and all of Am Yisrael. And may we see Yeshuot v'Nefla'ot, God's great miracles and salvation, quickly in our days.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schwartz. As we transition into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and community doing?
Baruch Hashem, I hope you're doing as well. We are, thank God, doing wonderfully well. As you can see, it's a special day for us here personally.
What a shkacha pratis, Divine Providence, to be able to have this call on this day. We didn't know about this. We didn't talk about it beforehand. It's unbelievable. But today we have you on and be able to share that with us. Truly amazing. Chassidei Hashem, thank God. Rabbi Schwartz, if you could share with us, it's hard to imagine a Jew who's not familiar with the Elizabeth area, but just in case we have some on the call with us at the moment, if you could share with us some background about the community, about your shul specifically, and the community overall.
Thank you. I love to talk about my community. I love to talk about my community because I find it special. I like to say that it's unique. To me, it is. But one of the most beautiful things about the greater Elizabeth Hillside Kehila is the fact that it's one of the few, I think perhaps the only city in the United States that I'm aware of that has a chief rabbi. We have a rabbi here, Rabbi Elazar Meir Teitz Shlita, a man who's been running our community since he took over for his father for well over 60 years. It's a community where all the pieces come together. Every shul in town is connected. They're all under the greater kehila structure, and we have the rabbi here. Our schools, our yeshivot, even Chabad in our community is all somehow connected and runs through Rav Teitz's watchful eye. About 17 years ago this Shabbos, the first non-family member joined the rabbinate to sort of assist Rav Teitz as each shul developed its own identity but still remaining part of the bigger whole. I'm glad to say that I was the first one to step in. We have two major shuls in town of, actually, I take that back. There are three major shuls in town, and then two smaller shtiblach and a Chabad, a very active Chabad in Hillside, which is attached to our community and very much part of the Elizabeth Kehillah. And of course, the J.C. Breuer conglomerate of schools is just absolutely stupendous, run by some fantastic principals who opened school this week and did so in such an incredible manner, as all of our mechanchim and mechankot in many places around the country have done. And if we're counting our blessings, one of the great things I think perhaps all of us should do, whether we have kids in school or not, is reach out to those heads of school, those principals, and those teachers, and just let them know how impressed we are with all of their efforts. Because I could say watching our principals and deriving just a tremendous amount of strength from them too, I really can say it's an incredible place. We've got community structures and people watching out, chesed ideas running up and down, people watching out for other people, seeing how they could pitch in. Nowhere have we seen it more than during COVID, during the period in time where everyone was looking for a way to see how they can contribute to help somebody else out. It's gratifying, and it makes me proud to be a part of a community like that.
Wow. Truly amazing, and an incredible model that I know many, many shuls and communities look to from around the country and perhaps even the world. I know that our community here in Boca Raton Synagogue certainly references the Elizabeth community of connections and ties there. So it really is a true role model of what a community can and should be. If I can ask, Rabbi Schwartz, perhaps if you put on your psychology hat as well, if you could share with us as we kind of try to imagine and look into the future that we hope will one day be a post-COVID-19 world, whatever that would mean, what communal changes do you anticipate for yours and the broader Jewish community?
That's an excellent question. One of the things I think that I hope to see is an awareness, even just beyond a shul, of the need to reach out. Shuls are the connection that people have to shul, on the one hand, is something I think people are discovering exists beyond just daily services. I think during the period of COVID, we've learned to reach out to our religion and our religious institutions, the OU in particular, and the shuls on the local level and the grassroots level, who have had to get very, very creative in order to be able to keep people together, to keep one another inspired, and to sort of bring them back into the environment of knowing that they're cared for. Early on during COVID, I took a training through the National Institute of Stress to sort of be trained and prepared as a community member to respond to, you know, stress issues in the world. And someone asked, and one of the trainers asked if anybody was religious or a clergy person. And I raised my hand virtually. We were in a Zoom situation. And they asked me, you know, we're discovering from our early trainings that religion adds a whole new dimension to just the reaching out that people do. They're finding a way to connect to their spirit, and yet to do it while the synagogues, while the churches were closed. Boy, am I hoping that now, as we are opening up more and more, that we'll be able to, yes, bring ourselves together and see one another in person, but to realize how central and important it is for us to be connected on a local level to our shuls, well beyond just being able to walk in the door and daven, but also at the same time to be able to appreciate what it means to be able to be together and daven together. And I see both things starting to emerge, and it's really gratifying.
Certainly, and we hope that it will continue to grow. And that's a good transition for us to the last question, as we talk about opening and reopening and broadening that opening. As we look now 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah, what are the plans for your shul, for your community, for the minyanim, whether they'll be indoors, outdoors, a blend of both, shofar blowing, and what about those who are unable to make it to shul this year? Is there some type of plan and coordination in place for them so that they'll be able to participate on some level?
So, first of all, I have to say that I'm blessed with just this incredible group of people who really want to make sure
that everybody gets a chance to experience Rosh Hashanah. So yes, there are different minyanim. We will be hosting both indoor and outdoor minyanim. Well, obviously, all of our minyanim are being guided by the medical experts and the poskim. So everyone will be wearing masks both in our indoor and outdoor minyanim. They'll be properly socially distanced so that people will feel and will be actively safe to the best of our ability. But yet at the same time, there are certain needs that others in our community have, those who won't be able to make it to shul. Parents of young children who, for other reasons, might not be able to make it to shul. Children for whom Rosh Hashanah is an important experience in their growing up. And so we are hoping to cater to everybody. Obviously, the regular minyanim will take place, albeit under the guidance of our Rav, Rav Teitz, and the other Rabbanim in Arvad, with whom I work, and I have to say, have been incredibly supportive to me, and I hope I have been a little bit of a resource for them. Those tfilos are going to be shortened somewhat to sort of make people more comfortable with the length of the davening. But at the same time, I just set up the schedule. I have it open in front of me in the computer. We, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, will have 7 different shofar blowings in town, scheduled to be around town and on different hours, so that you can stop in front of so-and-so's house at one time if you weren't able to be in shul, and he'll blow shofar on his porch, and you'll be able to hear it on the street, socially distanced and appropriate. You didn't make that one, you can walk to this one. You didn't make that one, you can walk to this one. And for those who can't even get that far, we'll bring it to you. We'll blow on the outside. We'll be this time out on the street. You'll be able to hear us, so that we can make sure nobody loses the opportunity. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we're also working with our youth department. I hope to be hosting on my lawn something I'm calling ices and mices, a chance for children to come in the afternoon and sit on my lawn in a socially distanced manner. Again, staggered times for families so that we can make sure everyone gets a chance to be able to sit down and, you know, hear a story, hear some ideas, and enjoy some ices. It is a sweet new year. And maybe sing a little bit to give the children a chance to also be involved in Rosh Hashanah. I think a lot of our rabbis and a lot of our shuls are working tremendously well to try to do the best that we can under the circumstances to create as much of a Rosh Hashanah experience as possible. And if I may, I want to personally recognize the efforts at the OU, because I reached out to them months ago, and they've been so helpful. You've been so helpful with your guidance for us on the shul level, so that we can work together to offer guidance and support and comfort for everyone celebrating Rosh Hashanah, so that these days become, as my teacher, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, likes to say, days of awe, not awful days.
Beautiful. Rabbi Schwartz, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a truly wonderful picture of what is a wonderful community. Sounds like there's a great plan in place, and I'll recognize, like you just did, we've noticed and have identified many heroes over the past few months, whether those in the healthcare system, to the Amazon and UPS delivery, and certainly recognizing the leadership of our Rabbanim, of our rabbis, and our lay leadership in shuls has truly been remarkable above and beyond. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabbonish Olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Eliyahu Wolf of the Young Israel of Woodmere in Woodmere, New York. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, meaningful, uplifting, restful, healthy, and safe Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.